Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome to our Grey's Anatomy deep diving podcast where we go through every episode. We are currently in season 19, episode 15 and 16. We're really in it. We're really doing it. We're almost done with season 19. If this is your first time listening, highly recommend you go back, start at our pilot, work your way through the entire show, and make sure you've watched the show ahead of time because we are a spoilers podcast.
If you want to support us, you can do so by visiting Patreon, www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. It's also in our show notes. You can pledge to be an intern, resident, attending. That's $2, $5, or $10. And if you pledge that, you get different bonuses for each level. You can be a part of our Facebook group. You get bonus episodes. And if you're a $10 patron, you get ad-free and episodes a day early. We just had a bonus episode come out with, we did a little crossover podcast event with Beach Houses and Babies, private practice podcast with our dear friend Sam. And so if you want to hear part one of that, we'll be posting part two probably next week. We talk about the crossover event between Grey's Anatomy and a private practice episode. So that was really fun. That's a fun bonus episode.
Yeah, it was fun to get back with the characters because I haven't watched Private Practice in a very long time. And it's nice to get a little refresh, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can also rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen. That is truly incredibly helpful to us. It helps new listeners find the pod. It's free for you. And you can write us a little love note. 5 scalpels, please. We're getting there, Bree.
We're almost there.
We dreamed of being caught up with the show, and it's about to happen.
In the year of 2023, we should put that like into the data here. It's 2023, and we're almost caught up with 19 seasons of Grey's Anatomy. One other thing that we do for our patrons, if you're a $10 patron, we do what we call post-op. At the end of the episode, after we call time of death, we chat about a topic for 5 to 10 minutes. Tonight, we are going to talk and compare Maggie's goodbye with Meredith's goodbye, because as we'll get into a little bit later, this is the episode where Maggie leaves. And we're going to kind of compare the two. We'll talk about Maggie leaving in the bulk of the episode, yes. But that post-op topic will be specifically about the difference between the two of them.
Yep. Also, I mean, I can wait to talk about this episode because season 19 is a drag, but I can't wait in the sense that you and I both had like a similar thing where we were like, we hate this, but we're crying. So yeah. I feel like that's a good summary of this show. Welcome to winter also, everyone. If you are, you know, on the part of the planet that has snow, we have snow on the ground here in Michigan, and I don't like it.
Okay, I don't like snow, but let me tell you what, I liked it today. I was bopping about, because I had to pick up a few things for my final piece of Christmas decoration, that my tension rod that I used to put up garland. I'm trying a new thing this year. Everyone's seen it on TikTok. I was waiting for that to arrive and it like got delayed, but then like it was supposed to arrive on like Thursday, even though it was supposed to arrive on Saturday, but then it arrived today and I was like, fuck. Yes. But now I got to get to the store and I got to get the things because I thought I had more time. Right. So I'm driving around. I'm listening to Amy Grant's Christmas album.
Perfect.
And it's snowing and I have a hat on and I am wearing my new sweater that has a little deer on it with a little red bow. She's super cute. And so I have my little gloves on and it was like everyone was bustling about and I was like, it's fucking Christmas time. And it felt really good.
Yeah, I do. I should preface. I like being in the snow for me when I can be home. Yesterday, I saw a really big car accident when I was driving on the S-curve. I was three cars away from it. Like, I was behind, and it happened in front of me. And the roads weren't even that bad, but I think someone, like, clipped someone, and then they slid. But this was, okay, this is what's so weird about when you see a car accident. Because it was, like, one car got hit and did, like, they didn't flip as in upside down, but they did like four circles, you know, like where they spin out. And then two other cars got hit by that car. So they all stopped. I zoomed right by. Like I was able to put on my brakes and then like I passed. But what's funny, it's not funny at all. What's interesting, and also everyone in the car seemed to be fine. Like as I drove by, they were moving in the driver's seat. But I'm like listening to some obscure music. It wasn't Christmas music. I'm probably listening to like Michelle Branch, and I'm just
Jason
like,
Mraz.
You know, you immediately turn it down. Like, I feel like my instinct is to like turn the volume down. And then I pass, and I was like, should I call 911? And I was like, I think so, like there were so many other cars involved that I was like, I'm sure someone's calling. Jake has also taught me never to stop your car and get out to go help. Like, just literally, it's that's how you get hurt. So don't do that. So I'm driving, and I was like, well, glad I wasn't in that. And I like turned the volume back up and just kept driving. And I was like, I feel like I should be, and I don't think anyone died. I think it was just like a, you know, but I was just like, what? This is so weird. Like it's literally 30 seconds prior, I would have been, my car could have been like totally messed up. So it was just like seeing a car accident is so weird because it's like, you'd think like, do I sit and think about it or do I just turn my music back up and I keep driving?
And I just keep going. Yeah. I don't know.
So I just drove and I kept listening to Breathe by Michelle Branch.
I'm going to be honest. If I would have seen it like in action, like you did, I probably would have called 911. I don't know that. I mean, I'm sure obviously someone did. Someone did call 911. But like, remember, okay, wait, because remember when that car
came up? Called, that
we
was
called
crazy.
911. Yeah.
We were listening to Jonas Brothers, or not even Jonas Brothers, Nick Jonas, Closer, when that happened. Why I know that, I don't know.
Listeners, what happened is Abby and I were coming down literally the same highway you were just talking about, only in the opposite direction. And a car came up the exit ramp, which was insane. And like, obviously they were either like on something or trying to escape something. And they came up, hit a car and like turned their car away and like drove. But like we just missed being hit by this car.
Yes.
And it was really fucking scary. And so we actually did pull over then.
We did.
Remember?
And we did call. I had a moment where I thought, okay, if I call, where am I? Like, you know, like I'm on 131 going this way, crossing Franklin or whatever it was. Like I was like, because I feel like they always ask you and you're like, I don't know. but I did voice to text Jake and I said, wow, I was just three cars away. Like, so I didn't use my hands. I was like from a car accident. And he replied, oh, I just saw it. Like it already had showed up on his thing.
Oh yeah.
So like someone had called. Yeah. But oh God, I should have called.
No, you're fine. Someone called. I just like, I don't know. I feel like that would be my instinct is to call.
It feels like progress. It feels like you're doing something.
Yeah. I've called 911 a few times in my life for random things.
Maybe twice. I think twice.
It's never good when you have to call 911.
Hi, is John there?
Hi, is my husband there? I'd like to speak to him. Thank you so much. No, I don't.
That's good. I'm nervous for if I go into labor and Jake's at work. Obviously, I will first like text him because if I start to go into labor, it's not like the baby's coming out that minute. So I'll like try to get a hold of him personally. But if it's like the middle of the night and he's sleeping, I have to call the station.
Oh, yeah.
And that sort of feels like calling 911.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like a stranger man is going to answer who I don't know. And I'll be like, hello, hi. Could you wake up my husband?
Yeah. Do you have the number to that?
I have all their numbers. And every morning before he leaves, he says, I'm at this station today and I have to try to remember that number.
Just in case you have to call it.
Yeah, otherwise I go through all of them. Where is he?
Where is my husband? I call station. In labor.
You know, wow, I just thought about the station 19. I wonder how many fire stations are in Seattle, because we only have 11. We're about to have 12 in our city.
We're about to have 12?
Yeah, they're building a new one. And I just typed station 19 into our Google Doc. How many fire stations in Seattle?
Just type station 19. 33. Wow.
Yeah, so that's the difference.
Small.
Yeah, I mean, comparative, I guess. Some places have one. So yeah, like 11, 12 is quite a few, but.
I guess like my parents, where they live, their little village, it's all just volunteer firefighters.
Right. How many do you think are in New York City? Wow.
How many?
What's your guess?
57.
This says approximately 250 firehouses and ambulance stations. Oh, okay. And ambulance. Okay. But still, that's bonkers.
That's a lot.
Yeah, they have 255 stations. 37 of those are EMS and 3 of them are fireboat, like for water.
Yeah, so 57 was a really bad guess.
But that's just crazy. That's like you're like, I'm at station 114. That'd be so many numbers to remember for me if I was going to labor. So anyways.
How was your holiday?
Oh my God. Yeah, the holiday happened. It was fine. It was good. We didn't host, which I usually look forward to. So we just attended, which in its way is also nice because
I did not.
Well, I brought a salad, which no one eats the Thanksgiving salad. But I didn't like have to prep anything, but I kind of like the prep.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. It wasn't my best Thanksgiving, but it was still fine. I've had better. Next year will be better.
Yeah. Hopefully you can host it again next year and then you'll have the babe and like it will be a fun new tradition.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine was good. It was a lot. I mean, so my mom broke her arm and so the sisters had to take over Thanksgiving this year. And so I showed up a few days early to like set the table and like help bring dishes upstairs and all of that. And then we all kind of split things like for people to bring. So I did my cooking Wednesday night. And then my sister and I showed up early to my parents' Thanksgiving day. And they still did the turkey and a couple other small dishes. There was only like one breakdown and my mom was going to teach my sister and I how to make gravy. And I think I had told you, and I don't know if I said this on the podcast, but I had a dream that like shit went wrong with the gravy and my mom was like really upset about it.
And is that what happened?
Well, it was a premonition. So then my mom like split out this different like juices and she keeps like the little bits to like part. Okay. And she went to go sit down for a second and maybe like 20 minutes and then was like, okay, we need to make the gravy. And so my sister got back up and my dad, trying to be helpful, washed the pan.
Cleared it. Oh.
Yeah. And I thought my mom and dad were going to cry. Like the look on their face was like, you could tell my dad felt really bad. Turns out I thought like all of the gravy was gone. I was like, okay, this is not good. But like my sister and I were like, it's just gravy. Like, okay. But it turns out my dad just got rid of the little bitsy pieces. Like all the juice was in this other thing.
Oh, thank God.
So thank God. But my mom's like, that's what gives it flavor. So it ended up being totally fine is my point.
How do you eat? Do you make gluten-free gravy? Because doesn't it have flour in it?
Yeah, we use cornstarch instead.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that was like a big moment. And then, you know, I don't know if you guys have this moment too, but when you have like, I think we had close to 20 people at our Thanksgiving, there's a point where it's like everything has to go out at once. And so it takes a lot of like connecting people together.
Yes.
And so this is like, we're in the kitchen and I somehow became the lead. I just like took it over. And so like, and I did it, I think, very well. I wasn't like stressed out or anything, but just like getting different things, telling people what to do. And at one point my dad was like standing just outside the kitchen, like looking at us. And I was like, Dad, how you doing? And my dad's response was, I've lost control, meaning he lost control of his kitchen. I had taken over. But everything made it to the table and everyone was really happy. And so it went really well. But I will say it took like me and my two sisters, my dad helped a bit, and then my like uncle's wife. Like, so it took like six of us to do what just my parents usually do. So it shows how good like my parents are at doing holidays, because it still took like six people.
So they normally do all of the dishes. You don't bring any?
Yeah, they do most of them. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There's like a few little things that they don't do, but we like really split everything up this year.
Do you have a fear, or maybe it's not a fear, maybe it's just like, well, that now this is how it will be?
Yeah. I mean, I would be okay with it if we could still like do it at my parents' house, because I don't have space to do it at mine. I could like set up a table, but our oven's not big enough. So until we could but it would be fine. I wouldn't want to have to go like days before, because then, okay, let me continue this.
Right. Then you had to go back for more.
Yeah. So then we did Thanksgiving. But then because, again, my mom's arm is broken, she's all sad. She usually has Christmas decorated before Thanksgiving. So we got our tree the next day, did that. I've been decorating my house for Christmas since November 5th, which is insane. But it takes a really long time. And now that I have a second tree upstairs and I have Christmas bedding, it really takes a long time. And so then Saturday, I helped my sister decorate her apartment. And then Sunday, I went back to my mom's and I did her tree and her mantle. So I was like a Christmas elf. I decorated three houses over Thanksgiving weekend. By Sunday, I like last night came home and I was like, I am simply exhausted.
That's
I cannot
a lot.
Be bothered.
Also, it's like, I think it's fun. I mean, I actually enjoy decorating, but there is a point when you lose steam. And And then it's just like, now I have, like right now in my garage are like three tubs that I haven't used everything out of, and they're just sitting there, and like, I need lights for the mantle, but it means I have to go get lights. Like, and I'm just like losing steam, you know?
Well, yeah. My sister and I always have like a moment every year where there's like a breakdown, and things were going really well at my house. Again, because I did a lot of it like not on Thanksgiving weekend. I have expanded to the point where I can't just decorate in one day. So we were just doing like, you know, the tree, which was still a lot of work, but like, okay, so we didn't feel so overwhelmed. Well, Saturday night, we did a like garland piece in between. And listeners, this will be on my Instagram soon.
It's beautiful.
So just watch out for that. But that went really well. So I was like, okay, great. But it was a lot of work. It took like 2 hours. And then we tried to hang this new, just like little tiny bit of like light garland, has little lights running through its little eucalyptus. But it was like 9:30 at night. Like, we had used all of our energy on the other thing. We like couldn't get it to work. We couldn't fucking figure out what we were doing. And it was like this crazy ass Christmas song was playing in the background that wouldn't end. And we're like holding it up. And I was like, we were like, you know, when you're laughing so hard because you're like so upset that everything's falling apart. That's what we were doing both on like step ladders. And it was like just this ongoing Christmas music. Somehow we finished it. But I fear that next year I'll look at photos of that and be like, that looks like shit. Why did we do that? Because there's always one thing every year that we do at the end and we're like, yeah, that's good enough. And then the next year, like that.
It never is.
It looks really dumb. So anyway, we got one more really big garland to do tonight. And then
I can't wait to see it. I the picture of your tree and your garland is beautiful. I wish my tree could go next to my fireplace. I also wish I could put things on my fireplace, but our TV is there and it's like not high enough. Like that anything you put on it kind of blocks it. Because the mantle is such a prime real estate for decor. Also, this will make you laugh. It didn't happen, but My dog was in his crate, which is in a different spot now because the tree is where his crate normally is. And I have this macrame tablecloth that is just always on our like credenza. And when I put him in the crate, he's like 3 inches from that macrame thing. And we left and I was watching him on the camera and he kept looking at it. And I was like, Jake, he's going to try to pull that through. Like he's going to stick his little rat feet out and he's going to snag it. And if he pulls it, it has 3 ceramic Christmas trees that are like right on it. Cause that's my little collection of Christmas trees. And, Jake's like, no, he's not. He's just looking in the corner. I'm like, no, mother's instinct. He's looking at that macrame. Like I know his brain. And so we left, went to Thanksgiving and like 2.5 hours in, I was like, oh, I should look at the camera. And sure shit, his little fucking legs were stuck through the crate and he was like trying to paw at it. And he like kind of had it, but he like couldn't get it. And luckily we can like yell through our camera. And I was like, whatever. I don't want to yell it right now. He's right next to me. But I like yelled at him and he like looked over at the camera and then he stopped. And then he like just stops doing that specific action. And we got home and there was like 1 piece of the macrame string into his crate. So he for sure was like trying to do that. So today when I left him, we pulled his crate just fully into the middle of the room. I was like, you are not near anything, you beast. But I would have cried if I'd seen video footage of my Christmas trees crashing to the ground.
That would be so bad. That would be like, especially just like, you know, not like a super great Thanksgiving. That would be like, fuck the holidays. Like, I'm over it. This is not worth it.
He is very cute around the tree, though. Like, I threw his toy and it accidentally went like behind the tree. He tiptoed so carefully. Like, he was like, I should not be back here. Like, to get it. It was very cute. I was like, there's not ornaments on it yet. There's just garland lights and ribbons.
Yeah.
So it's not like fragile yet. But
when will you do ornaments?
Oh, that's what I mean. I lost steam. Like I tied all those fucking bows. And then the ornaments, I'm just like, do I need ornaments? Like, I'll just keep tying bows.
What if you just do like a few of your favorites? Or then you have to go through them all.
I do, but I have to go. Exactly. I'm only going to do our favorites, but I do have to go through them. I was thinking like, I mean, I'm assuming this year, maybe my grandma will still get me an ornament, but like the tradition, the reason I have so many is because every year she gets me one. But what if, is she going to switch to the baby, which I'd be fine with? Like I have so many ornaments. And so, and I was like, do I put up my baby ornaments or is that weird?
No, I don't think that's weird because I put up mine on our tree. Like,
yeah.
And I just took a few more. There were like maybe, because I have a collection of the same Hallmark one.
Right.
And I had like a few random ones from childhood, like a Simba and Nala and like a Grinch ornament. Yeah. But I took them this year finally because I was like, they always end up on my mom's tree and I feel bad because she has so many. It has like a perfect, like if I were to take it, there'd be like a blank space. But this time I was decorating her tree for her. So I was like, I'm not even going to put these up. I'm taking these. But yeah, my point is I put mine up from childhood. My mom, she has hers. She has these little Eskimos, like Hallmark ones.
Yeah, that were hers.
That she keeps calling snowmen. We've kept calling them snowmen. It was really funny. But those she has from when she got married. So that's from like 70 something. And they're still all on her tree.
Yeah. My grandma has these little wax candles that she's never burned that are in the shape of like, oh, one's like a house, one is like a snowman, but they're from literally like probably the 40s. So they all kind of look a little dement, like a little scary. You know how things back then were not as cute, I feel like. And they have little 5-cent pricings on the bottom. She bought them when she was in high school. So honestly, maybe I don't know how old she is. I can't do math, but a long time ago.
See, so I think it's appropriate for you. Just put up your favorite ones. Like, you don't have to put up all of them, but I do think you should put up some because, because that's what the Christmas tree's for. My mom said, and I didn't know this, but this is such a classic mom thing. She was like, the people say that you have to have a theme for your tree. And she said, and my theme is memories. I was like, what?
Then that's my theme as well. I would like to steal that theme because
What does that even mean?
Next year, I'm going to have like a child that probably wants to destroy my tree because they're going to be like a year old.
Yeah. You're going to have to put those like clear things around the tree or just like,
I refuse put the ornaments to put all a baby gate.
Put yeah, all the I'm ornaments gonna, at the top.
I'm just going to train them.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
So we'll see.
I know. I think about that too, having kids in like my house. And I'm like, I asked my mom, I was like, what did you do when we were kids? She's like, well, I had a lot of stuffed animals around. I was like, I cannot transition to stuffed animal decoration. Then she was like, and then you just teach them like no touch. Like you can't touch that. I said, okay.
Oh, and then you want to touch it so bad.
Yeah. I can't. I have so many like beautiful things, but they would all just be destroyed if I had children.
Put them up high. Put them up high. Oh my God. We've already done half of this and we haven't even talked about the show. We should probably crank through it after a break because.
Okie dokie. I honestly, what would the listeners think if we didn't talk about these two episodes and we just kept talking about Christmas?
Well, you know, we could read the things and then go back to our conversation.
Okay. Stay tuned after the break. See what we end up doing.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, listeners, before we get into the episode, I wanted to share with you a voice memo from one of our patrons, friends, listeners, Sarah. She shared with us a voice memo way back when this episode aired about the patient who has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a condition that she also has. She was very appreciative of the way that the storyline was put on the show, and we wanted to make sure we shared her thoughts with you. So please enjoy, and then we will get back to the episode.
Hi, everyone. Science with Sarah here. And as predicted by my friend of the pod, Jade, and friend of the pod, Samantha, and more adorably, Samantha's dad, I'm here to share my personal take on the Ehlers-Danlos syndrome storyline in the most recent episode of Grace, season 19, episode 15, Mama Who Bore Me. So obviously, heads up, if you haven't watched the most recent episode, then maybe you want to skip through this. I'm not really going to spoil too much, but thought I'd give you the warning anyway. Guys, never did I think we would ring the EDS bell again or do it so well, but here we are. In this storyline, we have a patient who fell in the shower trying to shave her legs. I cannot tell you how relatable this is as someone with EDS, aside from just having EDS, which Amelia so correctly points out can present in multi-systems other than skin and tendons, as the intern suggests. There are different subtypes, and it can be different from person to person. Thank you, Amelia. This patient has a condition that's known as atlantoaxial instability in the show. Oftentimes in real life, it's known by the umbrella term craniocervical instability. Atlantoaxial instability, or AAI, just refers specifically to the C1 and C2 vertebrae, while craniocervical instability, or CCI, refers to the entire cervical spine. These terms are pretty self-descriptive. Instability of the spine due to loose tendons and ligaments that you see in Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a connective tissue disorder. In this case, on this episode, it's secondary to EDS. Our patient previously had a C1, C2 fusion. This fusion typically involves the removal of the disc between C1 and C2 and placing plates and mounting screws that are actually connected to one another to prevent over-rotation and dislocation of C1 on C2. It's necessary because if you over-rotate those two, You can endanger the spinal cord and some pretty major important blood vessels that feed the brain its blood and its nutrients. Our patient in this episode broke her hardware after she fell, and her scan showed that she was actually rejecting her hardware as a result of eosinophilia. So why do I know so much about this condition within the EDS world? Well, I have it. So I was diagnosed with CCI 2 years after I fell in the shower, which caused me to rupture 3 discs in my neck and dislocate 2 vertebrae. And I was only 22. I had a C1, C2 fusion in 2014. And then I had a C5 through C7 fusion in 2014. And then eventually we fused the intervening levels and went ahead and connected those 2 original fusions, my C1, C2, and my C5 through C7 in 2017, fusing my entire cervical spine. My surgeon treated my own hardware with bone marrow that he pulled from my pelvic bone, as well as mixing that bone marrow in with the cadaver bone he used in place of the discs he removed. And by doing this, he gave me a better chance of my body not rejecting it. And I was lucky enough that it worked. Amelia points out that this patient is going to lose some of her range of motion as a result of this fusion. And this is very true. I actually really love how they made it like abundantly clear how difficult it could be for this woman to live her own life on her own, and that they made her brother caretaker out to be a little too overprotective, because that is an experience we have all too often. EDS affects everybody in a different way. Some people are able to still work. Some people are unable to work anymore and go on disability. Some people have to live with caregivers. Some people are able to live independently. It just kind of depends on the person. The only bone I really have to pick with this storyline is that Amelia just does this surgery. And like, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to, you know, get down on Amelia. We're supposed to assume that our characters are just like the best at what they do. But this is not realistic. In the real world, it is really difficult. Okay. It's not easy to find a neurosurgeon who, one, believes that you have instability, two, will actually order the proper studies, three, it's difficult to find a radiology center that actually has the equipment to do the proper studies, four, it's really difficult to find a neurosurgeon who knows how to handle all of our complicated bodies and problems. Off of the top of my head, I can think of maybe 5 neurosurgeons in the entire US who are considered qualified enough to fuse our spines with a high level of success and with confidence in the community. So these doctors, when you find the right ones, they care about us just as much as Amelia seemed to have cared about this patient. So anyway, I will stop ranting now, but just know that I was beyond thrilled to see that storyline, and I cried my eyes out every single time that patient came on the screen. Grays once again hit it out of the park with an EDS patient, and I am thrilled. Okay, Science with Sarah, signing out. Thanks, guys.
Okay, today we're talking about season 19, episode 15, 16, Mama Who Bore Me and Gunpowder and Lead. I can't wait to talk about the song Mama Who Bore Me. It is from Spring Awakening. It is impossible for me to say the title of that song without singing it in my head.
Yeah.
Great song, great song. Great documentary on HBO Max if you've not yet seen it. Okay, I'll read the first one.
Great.
Okay. Our DNA is made up out of 4 nucleotide bases. The sequences of these bases is what determines our unique genetic code. Everything from dimples to eye color to tolerance for spicy food can be found in our genes. Genetic makeup can also help us ascertain risk for diseases. So it stands to reason, if we want to minimize the risk, could we find a way to change our genes? And if we could, are we sure we should? Segments of our DNA strands can be turned on or off by our behaviors and environment. So why not change the expression of our DNA and make it our own? Because who we are isn't determined just by what we inherit, by what we choose to do with it. Maggie Pierce.
Throughout history, traumatic experiences have caused psychological responses long after the events themselves have passed. Racing heart, pupil dilation, nightmares, panic attacks. Mesopotamian soldiers depicted these symptoms on tablets over 3,000 years ago. Yet post-traumatic stress disorder wasn't introduced as a diagnosable mental health condition until 1980. It's a lesson we learn in medicine time and time again. Just because we don't have the words doesn't mean the symptoms aren't real. Traumatic events are turning points. There's a before and an after. Sometimes it's hard to remember who you were before, and it's even harder to figure out who you are after. But if you look for your people and hold them close, you will find your way again. Meredith Gray.
Shotgun workup. We have Lindsay Allen, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and eosinophilia.
Toby Barrett, breast cancer.
Nola Marks, clot.
Matt Ortega, tracheal trauma.
Russell Porter, lead poisoning. Rounds. I'll read this first one because I'm concerned because I wrote it. I'm concerned for all of these. It's Maggie's final day at Grace Sloan, and after waking up next to Winston, she is told by him that he feels she is too much like Ellis and is very cold. She goes to multiple members of her friends and family to get their opinion on it, and Amelia tells her that she is not cold, and Catherine Avery tells her that she is focused, but that's not the same as cold. Finally, Richard apologizes for his reaction of her leaving and tells her that he is proud of her and that he will miss her. She ends up telling Winston that she wants to change history and not stay in a relationship to keep the peace like Ellis and her mother did. When she gets into the elevator to leave, we see both her moms on either side of her.
Joe and Link take Luna to the ear doctor, where they learn that she has progressive hearing loss. Luna was born premature, and the doctor said that complications like this can arise as they age. Link tries to cheer Joe up by talking to her about the new age technology of hearing aids, but she asks him to let the information sink in before he goes all cheerleader on her. A few days later, Joe finds out that Luna does not have any tumors and she is healthy. She runs up to Link to tell him the news and is ready to accept her progressive hearing loss and move forward.
Kai uses the Seattle office for the day, and when Amelia tries to encourage them to move to Seattle to do their work, Kai lets her know that the reason their relationship has worked is because her days with Scout do not overlap with their days together. They say they love her butt, and Amelia cuts them off and says that this is what people say before they abandon each other. Amelia is having a rough day, and Addison hears her yelling at Yasuda after a minor mistake in the OR. Addison pulls her into a supply closet and tells her that she needs to pull herself together because everyone is just trying their best. She repeats the phrase, "I love you and," to prove her point. At the end of the night, Richard approaches Amelia and invites her to a meeting because he too is struggling with the abandonment of his people.
Levi works with Benson to throw together a beautiful bat mitzvah for the patient Grayson, and afterward, Richard says he should consider a specialty in peds.
A man comes into the ER complaining of kidney pain and asks to specifically see Bailey. When Bailey arrives, he gets out of the bed and starts threatening her in regards to where she lives and her children. He stands up and goes after her, and Benson tackles him to the ground. Bailey is rightfully shook up about this and yells to Addison about how unfair the world is and rants about people who are pro-choice but who are willing to threaten her family and her children. At the end of the day, Addison and Bailey are loading some medical supplies that were delivered into Addison's vehicle, and there is a note on top saying that they are from Christina Yang.
Yasuda is having a hard time balancing life at the hospital and the bar and still maintaining her finances. She falls asleep at Joe's one night and Helm storms into Teddy's office, demanding that the system is broken. And for that, it's not fair that Yasuda can't even afford to do the learning she needs to do to become a doctor.
It's clear that Lucas still has feelings for Simone, and he asks Jules if she would take over being maid of honor for Simone until the wedding. First notes. It's good advice to date someone who's good at cooking breakfast. Like Lucas is making breakfast sandwiches or something. And Jake is really good at making breakfast. And it's a perk that I like about being with him.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think John's okay at making breakfast. He makes good pancakes.
Yum.
My first note is, Amelia says she's being abandoned. Strong words.
Yes.
And this ends up being a really, like, this is a theme throughout the episode. Amelia talks about being abandoned. And then even Richard does.
Right. Which abandoning is so much different even than leaving.
Yeah. Like,
Because Amelia says that you're abandoning me for. And even if she, like Amelia had said that you're leaving me for, those are like, it's just not strong. If you're right. Abandonment is a huge word.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, let's do it.
I do wonder what happened in the time between when Kai told Amelia they were leaving and then this scene in the car. I assume it was like a lot of dead silence. because it doesn't seem that they've like talked anything out. It just feels very uncomfortable.
Yes. And it feels like Amelia is very much in her, which we'll get to like with Addison kind of coming at her, her like spiral, like her yes. own, like the way she is seeing it is the way that it is. And there's not, it kind of takes Addison screaming at her in a loving way to like get her out of her own. And I use this in the nicest way, but almost like narcissistic spiral of like,
yeah,
this is about me. And really it's, there's more than it. Yes, Amelia is involved in it, but there's more to it than just Amelia for being sure. abandoned.
It wasn't until like when I was writing that round that it really hit me, though, the difference between when Kai says, I love you, but, and when Addison says, I love you, and I, yeah. I feel like that was, I'm glad we watched these two episodes in a row because I feel like that was very like purposeful. And also I did think it was interesting that like maybe Kai and Amelia, it's come up. I know it has, but it seemed very bold of Kai to say that their relationship only works because the days with Scout and the days with Kai do not overlap. And that like, if let's say Kai was staying in Seattle or something, like it would have to be that way. It makes me almost feel like, because I don't think Amelia, I think Amelia was thinking Kai would eventually come around to Scout. And I think Kai is like, no, that was never going to happen. And that is like two very separate pages that they're on.
I wonder about that too. I don't know, but it's very clear.
Yeah, it makes me think like, you know how like Owen, I think, kind of always thought Christina would come around to the idea of kids. Like if only they were together long enough, then she'd eventually want them. And I think maybe Amelia, like I think Kai made it clear, but I wonder if in Amelia's reality, Amelia thought it'll just take time. Then they'll come around to it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder. And it's clear too that like this is something deep within Amelia, right? It's not just Kai leaving. It's not just the sisters leaving. It's her father died. It's Derek died. It's people leave you. It's the wound, the anxious attached wound that is like coursing through Amelia. And I really loved the line, I wrote it down when Addison, first of all, I love that Addison like straight up asks if Amelia's high. And then when Addison finds out, like, okay, you're sober, then get to a meeting. But I love the line that I wrote down. No one has abandoned you. Everyone is just doing the best they can. And I think that's so important because when we, like, I've done this before, when you think that people are doing things to you, and sometimes they are, but like in all of these instances, it's like people are just living their lives, doing the best they can, making the choices they need to make for their lives. And it's like, sometimes you got to separate yourself out of that.
Yeah. And right after that line that you just read, Addison says, I love you and everyone else is just barely surviving. It has nothing to do with you. I love you. And you have to make the decision to stop the spiral. And that is what's like really hard about when you are spiraling is that you do have to make the choice to stop it. And I always feel like for me, I'm only speaking for myself, like worrying and being anxious sometimes feels like productivity. Like it feels like I'm doing something about whatever it is I'm worried and anxious about, but it's actually like not doing anything at all. And like choosing to stop feels like the harder thing to do, but it's the like only way to like to get out of it. And so I just feel like I loved that scene with Amelia and Addison. It was like true friendship. And the difference between I love you, but, and I love you, and is huge.
Yeah. I also love that Richard approaches Amelia and he comes like forward to about like, I'm in an abandonment spiral also. Like I could use a meeting. Yeah. So I really love that. And then she gives him a big hug and I assume they go to a meeting together.
I feel like everyone, even not alcoholics, should have meetings that we can just go to. I mean, I guess that's therapy. But I love this idea of like, I'm spiraling. I need to go to a place where it's safe to be this way and where I can keep myself in check. And I wish I could be like, Brie, let's go to a meeting first.
Well, I know. Like, I know, like, people, like, talk about, like, who do have meetings to go to, who are, like, working a program or, like, have said, like, I don't know how people who are not working a program, right, like what they do. And you're right. Like, there is therapy, but like, it's different. It's meetings aren't therapy. So like, it's different. I don't know. Right. I wish maybe we can. I mean, there are other ones that aren't like, there's like codependency. Like we could probably go to a
codependency. Go to an Al-Anon. Yeah, for sure.
Meeting for sure.
And I like too that they're happening all the time everywhere. So it's not like therapy where you have to make an appointment and also it's not free. It's like you need to just look up a place and they seem like they serve coffee and I am all about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love that moment. I love any moment between Amelia and Richard. And I think it was helpful that Richard first, he didn't say you look like you're an abandonment like spiral. He said, I am. And right. I could use it, like, which I think was purposeful. Speaking in line with that same thing, it was really sad to me. But like, I loved how honest he was with Catherine when he said, you know, like, the thought of you leaving is just too much for me to bear. Mm-hmm. Like, that just made me really sad, especially because we left the show at the end of season 19. Spoiler, with her cancer is still back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the whole thing about like the children with Kai and Amelia is such a big thing. Like, also, like, just to be long distance forever, that to me is, like, also not necessarily realistic, at least for Amelia. I feel like the kind of commitment that Amelia likes is not, that's not mm-hmm. Wouldn't be enough.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's the end of that.
The last thing I will say about this is, you know, I think Kai has a point at the beginning of all of this when they say, like, pretty much that they've been tending to Amelia since the moment that they said they were moving to London. Yes. Like, Amelia hadn't asked a single thing about it, didn't celebrate it at all. And I mean, that's also fair. And that, I imagine, is maybe a bit of a dynamic in the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So it is over at this point and we will see. It was interesting when Owen was watching Amelia fall apart, mm-hmm. you know, and like yell at Yasuda, because I feel like Owen is like been there. Like, you know, like he,
yeah.
I thought there'd be a better moment between the two of them, you know, where he, because he does know her really well, that there would be some sort of connection, but there really wasn't.
Well, I agree, because I have a note in here about, like, dude, I, like, forgot that Amelia and Owen were married.
Yeah.
Like, they don't
act like it.
Yeah. And maybe, I mean, they're divorced. So, but yeah. I don't know. I think you're right. There could have been a really good opportunity in the writing for, like, Owen to really get what Amelia was going through. But whatever. We got it from Addison. That's great.
Yeah. And maybe we just kind of like slide our way into the Yasuda of it all, who is getting the brunt of Amelia's feelings, which are like they're not warranted. So I also like that in that moment, Addison is not only trying to help Amelia, but also like, you don't need to answer that question, Yasuda. Like, you actually are fine. It was sad to go from that to then seeing Yasuda at the bar sleeping.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the scene with Helm coming into Teddy's office. And I loved it so much. Like, I loved that Helm says, like, no one stood up for me, so I'm doing this for Helm or for Yasuda. Like, that was such a, I mean, we know that things get romantic with them later, but I just thought that was such a beautiful moment, like, of her coming in to try to help her. I loved it.
Yeah, and try to advocate for her because no one else is. No one else is advocating for interns.
Right. I thought it was really great. And it made me even more excited for like what does eventually happen with them. But I liked it too that it wasn't like Helm. Yasuda doesn't know that Helm did this and probably won't.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not, Helm didn't do it to get anything from it other than to like do what she wished someone had done for her.
Yes.
So I really loved that scene.
Should we talk about Bailey quickly?
Yeah, I loved reading your notes. I peeked at them because I remember last week you were like, I don't remember her being attacked. And then you were like, who is this guy? Is he a bad guy?
Yeah, this guy has always had issues with his kidney. Wait, is he a bad guy?
Yeah, it was perfect. It's such a creepy moment.
Yeah, well, I kind of remembered it when he was like, I want to see Dr. Bailey. I was like, wait a second. I think this is like not good. Especially with him being like right kidney, no left kidney. And then he goes to attack Bailey and then Quan beats him up, which is
super intense. Super cool. It was so scary, though. He literally chased after her. Like, I don't want to be chased by a full grown man. So scary.
Yeah.
And then it leads us to the conversation with Addison and Bailey. You have a note about Juju. When does that brought up before?
Oh, Addison gives Meredith like hot chocolate in like early seasons. And it's like, it's good. It's Juju. And Derek is like, you Juju'd Meredith or whatever. And so then it gets brought up again.
I would have totally missed that callback. I love that. Also, I was drinking hot chocolate when I watched this.
Oh, that's nice.
Dude, the smell of Swiss Miss cocoa powder brings me right back to being a kid.
Oh, yeah. Coming in after sledding.
Yeah. I need to buy the self-serve tin where you can like.
Oh, you know, yeah. Yeah.
Because the packet is not enough.
No. I need some of that.
It is so good. But anyway, so I was drinking that. So I was like, wow, good Juju. Bailey chucks it. Yeah. And I love when she's like, I thought that would help. I'd be so mad if I chucked hot chocolate and then I didn't feel better. Oh, God. Gas station hot chocolate, too. Like that little machine.
Dude, it, like football hot chocolate. Like high school football hot chocolate from the concession stand. Wow. I had some at the Notre Dame game. Oh, so did I. It was so good.
Yeah.
But I mean like high school.
Yeah. Oh, God. I used to think coffee was the gas station cappuccinos, like in that same machine. Like I was like, wow, I'm drinking coffee. I don't know what that is. It's not definitely not coffee, but I would mix half cappuccino, half hot chocolate. Oh my God, that sounds so good right now.
That sounds so cozy.
Yeah. So, and Bailey goes off on all of her feelings, which are all warranted, and we kind of learn to, not necessarily in that scene, but in the later one with them, that Addison came to check on Bailey.
Yes. Which is really nice, like that she was doing a wellness check on Bailey. I liked how they, like, Bailey says, like, my mother taught me to, like, kill him with kindness. Bailey's, like, really upset. And I love that. How they decide, like, I got a little, just a tiny emotional when Teddy was kind of like, you know, all of you want to help, like, this is how we can help. And they do that montage of different people, like, talking to people on this list and, like, saying, like, well, we're, like, Dr. Bailey's praying for you, too. And it was just, like, there was something about, and then Ben asked Bailey, like, are you feeling better? And she was, like, a little bit. And just how so many people surrounded Bailey, but in a kind way, not in a, it was, I don't know. There was something that made me slightly emotional about it.
I must have looked away, because when I looked back, I was confused. I thought they were, like, calling. I was like, are they calling the Catherine Fox Award and nominating her? Like, I was so confused on what was happening. But were they calling the people who have been calling her?
Yes. Okay. So they got the list and they were calling them. And that's
that makes sense.
Yeah. And a lot of people were like, we're praying for Dr. Bailey to like change her mind or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just something like. I think we're so, and still are, like, and showing this in Grey's Anatomy, like, people are so polarized specifically on this issue. And so it was kind of nice to see, like, a way to try and kind of talk about it with random strangers.
Yeah. And everyone was doing it, too.
Yeah. And I don't know that it would have worked, but maybe.
Right. Maybe. And What do you think of the Christine Yang callback? Or not
oh,
callback,
yeah, that. Like, yeah, that made me a little emotional, too. I like those callbacks. I don't know, just the fact that, like, Christina would be like, keep fighting, like, from across the world.
Know. Yeah. It feels in character with Christina, and it was a nice non-cheesy way to have a callback of her.
Yeah. And I love too, it wasn't like love Christina. It was just like, you Yang. Know, like keep doing the hard work, Yang. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That was a great moment. The Addison episodes are oftentimes, I like them. I like, they have some good moments in it or good writing comparatively. I don't have much to say about Levi and the Grayson bat mitzvah other than that it was great to like see so many parts of a traditional bat mitzvah. I feel like you often see like the party, you know, sure. like in and but it was like kind of cool that they showed part of the actual ceremony. And I at first I was like, what is the point of this? I can't like remember. Like, is there something else? And Richard recommending Peds was also great because Levi's not had any sort of idea on where to go. And we are missing a Peds person. So I'm very interested to see how this takes off.
Yes. The only thing I picked up from it was like the interns decorating for it reminded me of the interns decorating for the prom. Yeah.
Yep. It felt very similar to that. And then like, yeah, like Richard dances with his wife. Like there was no good sex scene though. We was really missing a fiery sex scene. Also I could have done without that shot of Grayson dancing. I felt like that was terrible acting. I was so confused. Also it was just so middle schoolers are so awkward. I love it. But I would like, I mean, Levi, remember when Levi like did something previously too with like Halloween, he like dressed up. So I do think him, at least he has a tolerance and an appreciation of kids that would be good for Peds. I just wish we had like an Arizona to guide him through it. Or Cormac Hayes. There's no one.
There's no one. Oh my God. I forgot about McCormick.
Yeah.
McCormick Spice.
McCormick. Okay. So I don't have anything else to say about Levi. What about, how did you feel about the, we'll quickly touch on Joan Link before we get into Maggie. Thoughts on Joan Link?
I mean, I don't have feelings. Like, I get where Joe's coming from. Like Link is like when he teaches Scout like sign language, he's trying to be nice. But like Joe's like, I need a fucking second and you're not giving me a second. But then it's like, I don't know. We're just building up to them being together. Right.
Like, for sure. I appreciated, though, that like, because I feel like it's something you've taught me as a friend that like sometimes you don't need a solution. You just need to be in it. And like Link was trying to jump far ahead. But I was glad, too, that it ended on a positive note because I know there are many people with progressive hearing loss and it doesn't mean the end of life as you know it. And so I think it was like important that it will hopefully continue to show like the ways that it's manageable and like very livable. And so also I was like, I'm sorry, Link, but Scout is not good at sign language. Don't act like Scout knows what he's doing. He couldn't even spell. So
also, the other thing that I actually did like about it was like the little speech that Joe gives about like how her role has changed as a mom and making these choices. Like, I thought that was a good point of like, do you do implants? Do you not? Like, you know, like that's a big decision that you're making for a child that you probably don't think about unless you have to make that choice. So,
oh my God, why am I having a child? I'm gonna have to make so many choices.
You're gonna have to make a lot of choices. I'll be here just like cheering you on. So
thanks.
Thanks.
God. So
the nice thing is too, you're in a partnership, so you get to make choices with your partner for better or for worse, whatever that.
True. Okay, we got to talk about Maggie because that was the big part. Crazy that we're already at her last episode. I knew the thing with Winston in the beginning was going to like their sex was great. And then they were going to wake up and be like, ooh. But I and we'll talk about this a little in post-op too, but I find it very interesting, this idea, like everyone is like, oh, you are Ellis's daughter. You, like Winston says that as like a, you already were born with this, you know, like these talents and this knowledge. And I'm like, is that true? Like, I know there's like the nurture versus nature, and in the monologue, it talks about like, you, who we are isn't determined just by what we inherit, by what we choose to do with it. But I'm like, are those things genetic? I just don't know.
I don't know. The part that I thought was really nice with that, I thought that line was really nice. We both got emotional at the end when both of the moms
were
in
like
the elevator.
Tears. Yeah.
I did too. But the idea that like, so why not change the expression of our DNA and make it our own? Because we are, who we are isn't determined just by what we inherit, but what we choose to do with it. And like that cold, like Maggie being afraid that she has like that coldness. Like,
yes.
But like she can have softness too. And like she, and you can tell she has softness like from her adoptive mother. And like, I don't know. There's like, I'm not saying that that's a genetic trait, but like what we're meant to believe of like who Ellis is and Maggie's fear of like becoming that woman.
Well, and I also like that Catherine is like saying, you know, like I knew Ellis, which that was weird to think about, you know, like them existing together. I think she, well, I don't know if she's talking about Maggie or Ellis, but that like not necessarily cold, but focused. Like those are different words of the same thing. And also, she didn't say this, but it's kind of like that thing where like a man might not be described as cold, but a woman would be.
Yes.
And so I thought that was an interesting way of twisting it. I also love that Maggie went to.
It was a nice reframe.
Yes. And I love the way that Maggie went to Catherine, who is also an ambitious woman, you know, and I love when she says like Richard is drawn to them. That was so great also. And I think the reason too we got teary is because they really start to break you down when Richard gives her that little bench business card holder. And he says, it's a miniature version of the bench where I learned that I had a daughter. I hope you remember me when you look at it. And I have in all caps, this is the only good part of the show. I don't know why, but that, like the idea that Richard's life changed in that moment on that bench is really, that was like such a good, I love that aspect of the show.
I also wondered, like, the way he said it, I was like, are they planning to never speak to each other again? Like, if... And then it did make me happy in the next episode. They were FaceTiming. So yes. Like she was like talking about her apartment and stuff. Like I was like, okay, good. So we got an idea that like, yes, they're still communicating. They're still have a relationship. Like, okay, that's good. But yeah, there is like this emotional feeling of like Richard's life has changed and she kind of walks away. And when I started to cry and I knew it was coming because we've seen this is when you see both of her mom's in there. They both seem so proud of her, you know?
I know. Yeah. And like, we love Maggie's adoptive mother. Like we loved her on the show. Her goodbye was like heart wrenching. And already there was a mention too of her earlier when Maggie says like, I'm just missing her right now, which again, all these things like primed me for seeing them was very, also like the woman who plays Ellis has come back so many times.
I know.
She's just
and
really
I love
doing
that
it.
She was in her scrubs. Ellis was.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
It was a really great.
It was such a quick scene, but it was like, oh, this is so powerful having them both like standing behind her, supporting her as she goes off on her next adventure.
And when Maggie walks out, they look at each other.
Oh, which, God, it's like I know. Really emotional.
I know, dude, I'm extra emotional about anything to do with mothers also. Yeah. And like, I just like, I don't know, it really did something to me in that moment. And that last line that says who we are isn't just determined by what we inherit. And like, just the idea of that we all come from people and like it shapes us whether we like it or not. It was a really, really beautiful visual Grey's Anatomy moment. So,
yeah. And like the last, like changing that expression of the DNA, like, I just think so much about like our breaking our generational shit and like Maggie's doing it, you know?
Oh, God.
Okay.
It's good.
That's good shit.
We're going to talk about our thoughts on the differences between Mare's goodbye and Maggie's. So if you, just a reminder, if you're listening on the Patreon app and you're a patron, then you will get that. That'll be in post-op. So anything else before we jump into notes and trivia?
I don't think so. Let's go there.
All right. This episode's title originated from the song Mama Who Bore Me, originally from the musical Spring Awakening.
It scored 3.15 million viewers.
It was widely announced to be the final appearance of Kelly McCreary as Maggie Pierce as a series regular, although she was set to return in future episodes of the season in guest star capacity. However, Kelly McCreary retained her series regular credit for her next episode.
Maggie also narrates a voiceover for the episode. As such, it is the only episode of the season and the fourth episode of the series overall, following Who Is He and What Is He To You? Don't Fear the Reaper and Look Up, Child, not to feature Ellen Pompeo in any capacity.
Oh, that's wild. There's only three episodes where she's not at all in it. Okay, the episode's title originated from the song Gunpowder and Lead, originally sung by Miranda Lambert.
Scored 3.35 million viewers.
It features the 100th appearance of Barrett Doss as Victoria Hughes. Oh, yeah, there was like one moment of her, the Station 19 people.
Oh, yeah. Kelly McCreary appears in the episode and retains her credit as series regular, while the previous episode was widely announced to be her final appearance as a series regular, with only guest appearances scheduled later in the season.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with episodes 17 and 18.
Abby, we have to do Catherine Fox Award, and we have to rate the episode. Wow, really just plowing along here.
It's been our, we've done this 6 years now and I forgot. Well, I think the Catherine Fox has to go to Maggie.
I agree. Easy.
Even though she did like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about what's happening with her and Winston, but she had a great episode.
Good for her. I was going to give it a 6 because I thought that scene like bumped it up a bit, and the Addison scene.
Yeah, I'm gonna be really generous and give it a 7 just because of the Christina Yang reference, Addison, and the Maggie goodbye. So
great. Really happy.
Yep.
Okay, stick around, listeners, if you want to hear us compare the two. I'm sure you have some ideas about what we'll say, but Maggie and Meredith had two very different goodbyes.
Yep.
Stick around. Hear what we think. Time of death is 1612.
Beep.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.